about everything you claim to know. You saying yes, and how could you know that for sure, bro? That's the knowledge claim. But you gave up knowledge when you said you could be wrong about everything. You just said you could. Of course you can know things, but on what basis are they understood? What do you know? How do you know it? As far as truth, tell me. Do your logic and your reason confirm proof? Then Mr. Atheist, what evolution it seems. Unless you start with God, you can't make sense of anything.
Good afternoon, good evening, maybe even good morning, depending on where you are in the world today. Welcome to another edition of Cross Encounters Radio. I am your host, Tony Miano, along with Chris Chapman Honholtz, our dear compadre and partner in misdemeanors, Rich Story, Wheels. Wheels isn't with us today. Now, if you've been following the show for some time, you know Rich, you know what a big teddy bear he is, what an important part of the ministry he is, what an encourager he is, and he does all of that while for the last several years fighting his own physical battles, and not small ones, that's for sure. Rich spends a good deal of time in a wheelchair due to a vehicle accident that he had a number of years ago, and doctors. Rich is one of those cases, kind of like Michelle was, my eldest daughter Michelle, when she was a youngster. Rich is one of those cases where bright, intelligent, well-educated, experienced doctors kind of tilt their head like a puppy, shrug their shoulders, and go, "I don't know, what's going on with this man's body." Well, to add to his momentary light afflictions, Rich at the moment is suffering from a bad case of gout in his knee. To tell you how bad it is, let's just say that he's really encouraged that his knee right now, the swelling has gone down to the size of an orange, and that's encouraging for him. So it gives you an idea. Maybe next week, when Rich is feeling better, he could tell us how the Lord has ministered to him during this week, because in spite of his pain, in spite of his discomfort, his attitude is that he is praising God, glorifying Christ, thankful for what the Lord has done to him, through him, and for him this week. But we would ask you to pray for our brother Rich. We know you love him as much as we do, and so we would ask you to pray for him. We, as I mentioned on Twitter, for those of you who follow us on Twitter, what is our Twitter handle for the show, Chris?
It's at Cross ENC Radio. At Cross ENC Radio.
There you go. Yeah, it's at Cross ENC Radio. It's not at Cross ENC Radio. only one at sign. Chris, it's kind of like now, people have dropped www. They realize they could save a few seconds of airtime by not saying www.crossencounters.us. You just say crossencounters.us. So just one at Cross ENC Radio. At Cross ENC Radio.
Sir.
But anyways, if you've been following us on Twitter, and a lot of you do, some of you love us, some of you can't stand us, but we love you anyways. There, since August of last year, there has been an exchange of words, sometimes edifying, sometimes not so much, between me and Pastor Tibidi Anyabwili. I finally learned how to pronounce his last name today, and I'm feeling pretty good about that, regarding issues pertaining to law enforcement, the use of force, Michael Brown, Eric Garner, some other tragic situations. And we've gone back and forth now for about 5 months over these things at different times. But today was an amazing day, because Pastor Tibidi happens to be in town in my neighborhood here in Santa Clarita, California, to speak at the Truth for Life conference at the Master's College. And things kind of came to a head yet again today on Twitter between us. And Pastor Tabidi agreed to meet with me and my dear friend Kevin St. John, who's down here, drove down here from Calgary, Alberta, Canada, to bring his lovely daughter and master's college student, Alicia, a car so she can get around more. And Kevin's been down here doing open air preaching with me for the last few days. So Kevin and I and Pastor Tabidi met in the lobby of the hotel where he's staying. We spent over 2 hours together, and it was a true answer to prayer. It was one of the most edifying conversations I've had in a long time. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that, Kevin and I. We are not, now, let me just tell you this now, we are not going to discuss particulars. That was a private conversation between three men. And so I'm going to speak in generalities. I'm not going to divulge any confidences. You know, if you have questions as to what Pastor Tabidi may say or write, if at all, as a result of our conversation, you're going to have to ask him. And I really didn't... those questions didn't come up in our conversation. But as I posted on Twitter, of the many things I learned, and I learned a lot today, I learned a lot about Pastor Tabidi as far as his life experiences, and got to know him as a man and not simply as a well-known pastor that I've heard preach wonderful sermons and see on Twitter and social media and things like that. And so I learned many things today. All were good. But two things I did learn. I learned that I love Tabidi and that I hate Twitter. we're going to have Kevin on here in just a little bit. We're calling a bit of an audible. I want to give some time to that. Talk not only about our conversation with Pastor Tabidi, because I think it's important. A lot of people knew that we were the conversation about whether or not we should meet or could we meet. That was all done publicly on Twitter, and so a lot of people know that we were trying to meet. We're going to meet, and so I think it's important to at least address the fact that we met and talk a little bit about how it went in generalities. Again, without divulging any confidences or any real specifics. As to what Pastor Tabidi said, again, we'll let him speak for himself in that regard. And then Kevin and I spent quite a bit of time out on the streets. We went to the North Hollywood Metro Station together and preached. Went there twice. Went to UCLA. Spent a full day there preaching, and the Lord did some remarkable things, as he always does. The Lord is always working. The Word of God says the Father is always working, and even now he is working. So we know the Lord is always at work. We know the Son is always at work. We know the Holy Spirit is always at work. But we don't always get to see it. That's why I'm always wary when, you know, I look at some evangelist website and he boasts of, you know, there's one. I actually saw one that boasted of 1 million conversions. So, yeah, okay. Let's see. Narrow road, few will find it. 1 million conversions as a result of one man's. Okay, yeah, sure. All right. But you know, while the Lord is always working, it's not every day that we see real contrition in people. It's not every day that we might get to see someone come to genuine repentance and faith. And amongst a lot of wonderful ministry and fantastic fellowship over the last few days with Kevin and with others, Kevin's got a couple of just wonderful testimonies of what the Lord has done over the last few days. And we want those to be an encouragement to you. We want to give glory to Christ, and we want to be an encouragement to you. And so Kevin and I are going to talk about those things. Alex Malarkey. If that name is not familiar to you, Alex Malarkey is the subject of one of the most popular books about travel to heaven. I mean, this is becoming so prevalent now, at least in book form and through through demonic organizations like Bethel Reading and the New Apostolic Reformation. It even now has a name. It's called Heavenly Tourism. Heavenly Tourism. We're now into our 150th show. So I don't know, it might have been 100 shows ago or so when we were focusing a lot of attention on Bethel Reading. We played the audio of a short video of the director of children's ministries at Bethel Church, where she was boasting about how in the Sunday school classes they were taking children on field trips to heaven and teaching children how to take field trips to heaven. It's just demonic, absolutely demonic. Well, of course, Christian book publishers, too many of which are more concerned about sales than souls, quickly publish these books because they sell. They sell like hotcakes. Because lies always sell better than truth. Well, one of the books that was published was about a little boy at the time named Alex Malarkey. The book was written by his dad. And the book is called The Boy Who Came Back from Heaven. Well, Alex, to his credit, to a testimony of his faith in Christ, Alex recently and very publicly recanted the entire book as a lie. And so Chris and I will go over an article written by Dustin Germain on the Pulpit and Pen blog, time permitting. Well, time will be permitting. We're definitely going to get to that. And we'll talk about these fraudulent, fascinating, phony heaven trips. Pastor Dan Phillips wrote an interesting blog this week. Well, hey, look, if you want to read good blogging, really good blogging, good writing. A couple of blogs, among many. I mean, if I'm going to say two, and you're going to say, what about? And I'm going to say, yeah, those two. I mean, we all can think of our favorites. But Pyromaniacs and the Cripplegate blog are two of my favorites. And Pastor Dan Phillips writes for the Pyromaniacs blog, one of the founding members there. But this week he wrote as a guest blogger on the Cripplegate blog. So it's like, I don't know, is there another superhero team besides the Avengers, Chris?
Justice League.
There you go.
That would be the DC. That would be the DC one you tried to banish me to.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, Cripplegate guys writing on Pyromaniacs, Pyromaniacs guys writing on Cripplegate. I know Dan Phillips and Frank Turk will appreciate this. It's kind of like the Avengers and the Justice League swapping team members from time to time. So, you know, superheroes going from one team to another team. So, anyways, the article he wrote is titled Beware the Horrible Butt Monster. That's butt with one T. Go repent of what you were thinking. Beware the Horrible Butt Monster. And our good friend, Pastor Jeff Kirkland, of a wonderful church there in St. Louis, he was retweeting some of these, some of the snippets from Pastor Dan's article, and it's really good. So we've got a Romans 3:10-18 award recipient as well, and be ready to be disgusted. Sorry, folks, we'll give you that warning. If there are any small children listening to the program, parents, mom and dad, we will give you some warning. We'll announce, hey, we're going to talk about the Romans 3:10-18 award recipient. You may not want your kids to listen to this one in particular because it's going to make you have conversations with your little ones that maybe you're not ready to have with them. So, and then Chris has got another always ready scenario for me. And, wow, we're going to do all of that in the next 45 minutes. Ready? Go. Yeah. Yeah, okay. That laugh. Now, we've talked about your laugh, Chris. We've talked about your laugh. we've talked about your laugh, and often it was I think we described it as the hyena laugh in Lion King, right?
And I think the minions from Despicable Me were the most recent.
When you just laughed, and that's going to, this admission is going to put me in the realm of geekdom. There is a show on that we watch on the computer. We don't have cable or anything, called Once Upon a Time. Have you heard of that show, Chris?
Yes, my wife loves that show. She sees it on Netflix.
All right, well then your dear lovely bride, Christine, will understand this, because when you just laughed, you sounded exactly like Rumpelstiltskin.
Rumpelstiltskin.
Oh, you already knew this.
I knew where you were going. I've watched at least a few episodes with her, so I knew where you were going.
So Christine, if you're listening, dear sister, if you're listening, we've just given you, because we're not going to use it, we've just given you a new pet name for your beau, and you can call him Rumpel for short. Rumpel.
No, right, Will, so I'm that, Sandry.
What's that? Someone in the chat
Will
room
Sanders in the chat room says I need to say Deary.
You just did. And you sounded like him.
I told you, I have
more,
seen
you
one
know what? Hey, bro, you could make a whole lot more money doing voiceovers for cartoons than you can be in the producer of this program. I can tell you that right now.
Well, yeah, that would be a kiss.
All right. Okay, let's get started. Okay. So I'm going to bring Kevin in just a second, but a couple of things I want to say first. I don't know if Pastor DeBeatty is going to be listening to this program. I'm going to send him the link, and I've tagged him. I've tagged him already in a couple of tweets, letting him know that I would be talking about our conversation without necessarily sharing our conversation. And so we'll send him the link. I don't know if he's listening now. I know he's got some things going on this afternoon and before he goes and preaches at a fine church down in the south end of Los Angeles County tomorrow. I once again have behaved badly on Twitter. This particular situation with the racial tension in the United States and all of these critical incidents involving law enforcement, and those of you who know me know that the law enforcement is very near and dear to my law enforcement family, very near and dear to my heart, as it is with Chris. You know, Chris is in law enforcement. I spent 20 years in law enforcement. And Pastor Tabidi and I crossed swords primarily on Twitter regarding these issues. He and I had some passionate disagreements. Speaking only for myself, there were a number of times when I was less than charitable to him. There were a number of times where I lobbed missiles into his camp that were unsolicited by him. I did that today by posting something that a member of my church had wrote that I still think was a good piece. And it spoke to some of the things that Pastor Tabidi has said over the last 4 or 5 months regarding some of these very racially charged, emotionally charged, spiritually charged issues of our day, of our time here in the United States. And really, the reason I did that was to get a rise out of Pastor Tabidi. That's why I did it. And I was wrong. I was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. So I know there are a number of people out there who agree with me regarding my positions regarding Ferguson and use of force by law enforcement and other things. And I know there are a bunch of you because you let me know on a regular basis that you passionately disagree with me. And some of you very angrily disagree with me. I understand that too. And so to all of you, whether you agree with me or not, if I have caused you to stumble in any way, not by my positions, but by the way that I interacted with Pastor Tabidi, and because of the fire of my rhetoric and the uncharitableness of some of my rhetoric, if I offended you, if I caused you to stumble, if I caused you to respond in kind either toward me or standing beside me, please forgive me. I apologize for that. I was wrong. So one of the things I mentioned a moment ago is that two of the things that I learned through my time with Pastor Tabidi was that I love Pastor Tabidi and I hate Twitter. One of the things I will share something that I shared with Pastor Tabidi. And it's one of the places that I started our conversation after we all shared our testimonies with one another, spent some time just getting to know each other, which I think was hugely beneficial to the rest of the conversation. We all got out from behind our Twitter accounts, got out from behind our blogs, got out from behind Facebook, looked each other in the eye, heard each other's voices and our tones, talked about each other's lives, and invested that time, and that really set the tone for the rest of the conversation. But once we got through those very important particulars, well, once the ice was broken, so to speak, one of the first things I said to Pastor Tabidi was that while I am most definitely a supporter of law enforcement, and I am a cheerleader for law enforcement, I am a defender of my law enforcement family, I will go to for them when appropriate, no matter how much it costs me. I love my brothers and sisters behind the badge. That being said, if an officer is executing his authority and doing so with the intention to oppress people, to malign people, to be prejudiced against people, to be racist against people, that officer, whether man or woman, has absolutely no business wearing a badge. That person should not be a member of the law enforcement family. If there is a man or woman in law enforcement who gets their kicks in using force, who sees that, sees the use of force as not, as instead of seeing it as a solemn, huge responsibility with exponentially massive implications whenever that happens. If an officer does not think about and take to that responsibility with a great deal of sobriety and with a biblical form of meekness, meaning power under control, if an officer enjoys using force against another human being, if they get their kicks in putting hands on people, get their kicks on walking that fine line between discipline and abuse, enforcement and abuse, if they have a low value of human life in that regard, that man or woman has absolutely no business whatsoever wearing a badge. And if a police officer breaks the law and there is evidence to that fact, and if that is reasonable evidence, if that is, and I don't want to qualify this too much, but let's just put it this way: if an officer is guilty of breaking the law, then he must be punished to the full extent of the law. I don't think there should be any grace given in sentencing for a police officer who breaks the law, because he or she is held to a much higher standard. And I love the law enforcement profession. I love my brothers and sisters behind the badge. And I think any good, recognizing that every law enforcement professional is drawn from the same fallible human race as every other profession, any good law enforcement professional will agree with what I just said, because they too want to do the job with honor, respect, dignity, not only their own dignity, but showing dignity to the people that they are charged with protecting and serving. And good cops don't want bad cops anywhere around them, and good cops don't want bad cops representing the law enforcement family in any way. So I actually said more now than I said to Pastor Tabiti, but I tried to emphasize that point as much as possible with him. So I'm going to bring Kevin on. We're already running very long. I really don't know how much we're going to get to today, but this is pretty important. So Kevin is now on the...
Yes,
Kevin,
brother.
Kevin is from Longview Community Church in Longview, Alberta, Canada. Kevin started and led for a number of years Calgary Peacemakers, one of the best evangelism teams in the world. The team's still going. It's now under the leadership of Longview Community Church. Kevin drove all the way down here from Calgary with his daughter's car to drop it off at the Master's College for her. And Kevin and I have been out for the last few days. And so, Kevin, before we talk a little more about our conversation with Tabiti,
mm-hmm.
I want you to share, and I have really over-budgeted the time here already. I want you to share the two testimonies of your conversations with Stephanie and Rain.
Stephanie was at NoHo or North Hollywood Metro Station. Thank you for taking me down there, Tony. That's an awesome little fishing pond/stream. And as Tony was preaching, I was handing out gospel tracts. And I handed a gospel tract to who I would come to know as Stephanie. And Stephanie walked about 30, 40 feet away, was obviously hearing the preaching and reading the gospel tract. And I kept handing out tracts. And she turned around and came back, tears streaming down her cheeks, and started to confess to me that she had fallen away from the Lord over 6 months ago, fallen into grievous sins, et cetera, et cetera. I went and sat down with her and started talking more with her, and she confessed to have been listening to T.D. Jakes and those types of heretical teachings. So from that, I obviously gathered that she was not in a biblical church. I then articulated the long gospel to her and really honed in on propitiation for sins, what was happening on the cross. And after our conversation, she broke out in tears. She expressed a deep regret for her sins, a godly sorrow leading to repentance, and a desire to come to Christ on his terms, and understanding his lordship and her desire to come and be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. It was evident to me that the Spirit was at work on her, and I really fully believe that we saw a conversion out there on the streets at NoHo.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
Amen.
It was wonderful. So pray for Stephanie. She needs to get plugged in. I gave her the gty.org website and exhorted her, encouraged her to go to that site and listen to the messages from Dr. John MacArthur. Wonderful Bible teacher, obviously, and we all love
yeah.
him. So I'm just really hoping that she's doing that now, and you know, pray for our sister Stephanie. The next conversation happened at the UCLA campus, where three of us got to open our preach there. A good friend of Tony's and myself. And right after I preached in the open air, a girl, I guess it was Keith, was preaching right after me, and a girl by the name of Rain was sitting along the steps, the wall there. She called me over or waved me over, and I came over, and for the next, what would you say, Tony, hour?
Yeah, at least. Yeah.
The next hour or so, she grilled me with tons of questions. Again, nearing the end of our conversation, after I'd explained Christ and answered her questions, and for the sake of time, that she was really struggling with the Trinity. She was struggling with the deity of Christ. Some of those doctrines that she had been inundated with, Islamic teaching. So she claimed to be a Muslim, but obviously not too interested in it, but had been indoctrinated in that way. But nearing the end of our conversation, again, there was great contrition shown. She was asking me, well, do I have to go to a church to do this? How do I do this? How do I become a Christian? The question you want to hear when you witness to someone. So I pointed her to Christ, our priest, and told her to just go and go directly to him. She at one point had asked, do we have to go and talk to a man in a box? So obviously she had heard something to do with the Roman Catholic Works Righteousness Program. But anyway, was able to point her to Christ, and I was greatly encouraged and convinced that she was serious, she was contrite, and that she was going to go to Christ and ask him to be saved. So again, beautiful conversation. And Tony, I just want to mention, like, we see this sort of interaction, not so much people coming to Christ every time we preach, but the open air preaching promotes that atmosphere that people feel comfortable to come to you and ask questions. So it was beautiful, and I'm just so thankful to have the privilege to talk to these two dear people that we hope came to Christ those days. So,
amen, brother. Yeah, it's those kind of testimonies, really, and I know you'll affirm this for those of us who open air preach. When something like that happens, I mean, that just it fuels you, it energizes you, it charges you up, and will keep your battery going for months on end, because you want to see the Lord do that again, you know, and because it doesn't happen every day, you long for it even more. And so, Kevin, do you think you could have gotten those girls to pray the sinner's prayer?
Oh, there is no doubt in my mind that had I, you know, led them through four steps to become right with God, or whatever you want to call whatever system, pragmatic system that's been built out there, I could have used it, and they would have been falsely converted right at that moment, guaranteed.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Guaranteed. All right, bro. So let's switch gears, and let's go back to our conversation with Tabiti. Share with us here in a few minutes what were some of your takeaways from the conversation.
My takeaway is that I was completely and totally blessed. I have three main takeaways, and I know that I also dislike, I actually hate Twitter now, And I love Tony Miano even that much more. And now I love my brother, Pastor Tabidi. So, yeah, I know you only had two takeaways, Tony, but I had three.
Well, I have others. Those are just two, but go ahead.
Love you. Anyway, I did most of the observing, to tell the honest truth. Wouldn't you say that, Tony?
Yeah.
Mostly
yeah,
observing
in
the
It was Pastor Tabidi. Yeah, it was Pastor Tabidi who looked at you and basically said, look, we're going on back and forth, meaning him and me, and he wanted to bring you into the conversation, which was great. And so, yeah, you did a lot of observing.
Yeah, I mean, on Twitter, I obviously entered into the conversation in a sinful manner and basically just smacked him with, you know, you confused my daughter. It could have been done in a lot more godly manner and way, and so there was an exchange of asking for forgiveness from one another and a reconciliation right then and there, and an agreement that we both erred in our approaches to one another over social media, and we were then I was able to just bring us back to let's look from the 100,000-foot level and bring everything under scripture, and how should we approach this going forward? How should we lovingly look to our brothers that are falling on the other side of the issue? And it was just a great exchange where my takeaways are many. Could probably write a book about it if I knew how to write. But I think the atmosphere was the biggest thing. You know, we talk about watching God do his work through the preaching of the gospel in the open air. We talk about discipleship. We talk about all those things. But when three men who disagree come together and you see God working through the gospel to bring about a like-mindedness and a unity in the spirit, it is beautiful. It is beautiful. And that was my biggest takeaway today, I would say, is just being able to observe God working in the hearts of three men to humbly come to one another, to pray with one another, to seek out reconciliation, and that the Lord would work so graciously in all three of us to better understand each other's positions. And not only that, to honor Christ. And so that was my takeaway from today. And made a new friend, Pastor Tabidi is, to me, now that I've been able to meet him as well, just a wonderful saint, and I think it'll be a great reminder that we are brothers and sisters in Christ, and that we need to come to each other, and that social media can be used in such a demeaning fashion and way if we get carried away with it, and that we need to sit back sometimes and think about what we're about to say before posting it. So
yeah, good word, brother. Yeah, now by the end of the 2+ hours, and that's how long it was that we were together, we didn't agree on everything. What I did learn is that being able to sit down and talk these things out with Pastor Tabidi, and be able to string this together sentences and thoughts at more than 140 characters at a time, go figure. When all was said and done, and we listened to each other, there was no talking over each other. There was no there wasn't a single moment of argument, in a sense, using the term in a negative way. There wasn't a moment of argument.
Right.
Which was entirely God's grace. Entirely God's grace.
Yes.
But when as we're wrapping up the conversation, there wasn't much that Pastor Tabidi and I disagreed on. We agreed on much. We did not agree on everything. We didn't. But what was
right.
helpful, what I think was so helpful about the conversation is that we were able to explain our positions, clarify our positions. There wasn't any negative forms of compromise. There wasn't any acquiescing to error at all. So while we didn't agree on everything, I understand him. Now, I've spent 2 hours with a man in my entire life, so you know, to the extent I can understand a man in 2 hours, I certainly understand him better than I did by reading his blogs and following his tweets. And I think I can say, and I think Pastor Tabidi would affirm this, that he understands me too. You know, as we were exchanging tweets over the last 5 months, we talked over each other. And I don't think either one of us listened to the other well, but that wasn't the case today. And so now folks have been asking me, you know, sending me private messages and things like that. Is Pastor Tabidi going to recant anything he said? And the answer I have for you is, I don't know. Obviously Pastor Tabidi will speak for himself. I think he has a better perspective now as to the law enforcement side of things. And you know, for the record, you know, the only thing I will say that Pastor Tabidi did say is that you know he affirmed his respect, admiration, appreciation for the law enforcement community.
Yes, he did.
You know, he acknowledged, as I have often said, that law enforcement community is made up of a fallible human race, and that while there are people who should not wear the badge, there are the majority, you know, and he used that word, the majority of men and women in law enforcement are doing the job right. Okay, so I think at least that much is important. But if you still have questions for Pastor Tabidi, then you should ask them. But don't ask them the way I did on Twitter. You know, ask them with more grace than I asked the questions. But if you still have questions, then I would encourage you to ask them, of course. And as Kevin has said, you know, I feel like I made a friend today. The man didn't try to snow me. He didn't try to sell me anything. He didn't put on any airs. I believe the man who was sitting in front of me was the real Tabidi Anyabwile. You know, he seemed very genuine to me. I took him at his word, the things that he was saying. I had no reason to believe that what he was saying to me wasn't an honest representation of how he thinks and how he believes. And so I can go beyond simply giving him the benefit of the doubt to say that I believe that what he was telling me was really how he felt about things and really how he thought. And so I thought that was really, really good. Where do we go from here? Yeah, I don't know. Again, if our conversation today spurs any type of follow-up writing on the part of Pastor Tabidi, That's entirely up to him. And I would look forward to reading that, but Pastor Davidi doesn't owe me anything. We apologize to each other, and as far as I'm concerned, it's done. It's done. So so I thought that was great. Hey, Kev, I appreciate you being on the program. Pretty easy for you since you're downstairs. I'm upstairs in my I'm upstairs in my sister's home doing the show today. And in about 15 minutes, going to go downstairs, join the family. Kevin and I and the family are going to be having dinner together and more fellowship. So I'll see you downstairs in a few minutes, brother.
Thanks, man. Jake and I had a great trip down, and we love being with you. Thanks. Okay, bye.
All righty. All right, Chris. All right, let's see what we can get through. we got 15. We have 14 minutes. All right, here's what we're going to do.
I'm counting.
I've told Pastor Phillips and Dustin Germain that we were going to be going over their articles today, not critiquing them, but high-fiving them, affirming them. We're not going to be able to get to that today, so we're going to do that next week. We'll it'll be good to have Rich back with us. Now, of course, I won't. You two will talk about it.
Okay, we will.
Right.
Whoa.
That's right. I'm just taking a day off, but it is it's a top secret mission that I can't share with you folks. So we'll let the trolls run wild with that one.
Not that we don't give them enough.
All right. So our recipient. Now there was a long list of candidates for this week's. Romans 3, 10 to 18 award recipient. The Romans 3, 10 to 18 award is a award that I've initiated for an article of the day, article of the week that exemplifies the depravity of man. This story comes from
Fox. Tony, this is when we're supposed to give our warning.
Oh, remember? Yes. Thank you.
Young years.
Thank you. Yes. If there are any young ears listening, mom and dad, you might want to go send them off to play with Legos or something for about the next 5 minutes or so, because this story is probably not appropriate for children. So, do 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 do
uh-oh, uh-oh.
Do 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 boom boom. Okay.
Apparently, Dan Phillips is already aware of the fact we're waiting till next week because he's responding to your tweet. He's giving you grief. He said we lied.
Okay. Well, now let him know that I used an Avengers/Justice League analogy to place him in the category of superhero as a writer. What more must I do? If I believed in penance. Oh, and then KT. Oh, yeah. See, I got Twitter going on my phone here, smarty pants. KT says, he's good at not getting through topics fast enough. Thank you, KT. Thank you. Thank you so much, KT. Thank you. Etu, KT. Etu. All right. So, in the brief moments we have remaining, here's the story from Fox News. Woman plans to marry her father after 2 years of dating. Uh-huh. Reading from the article, a teenager has revealed in an interview that she plans to marry her father and have children after dating for 2 years. All right, they've been dating for 2 years. Listen to this next sentence. The unnamed 18-year-old, let's do the math, shall we? The unnamed 18-year-old revealed in an interview with New York Magazine her romantic relationship of almost 2 years with her biological father after being estranged from him for 12 years. In the interview, the girl also said the two also plans on having children. The teenager said her father reached out to her on Facebook when she was You know what? In fact, can you close that door? Is there a door on there? We've got little ones downstairs. Oh, there's no door. Okay. The teenager said her father reached out to her on Facebook when she was in high school, and soon after, she went to stay with him for a week. After the week together, the 18-year-old said they had sex and then started dating. Quote, this is from her, everyone on mom's side of the family sees us as father and daughter, end quote. She told the magazine, quote, those who know that he's my dad and that we are engaged, including my father's parents, they can see we are happy together and they can't wait for us to have babies. They treat us just like any other couple. The woman we live with and my best friend. Okay, so all these other people are applauding, saying, hey, this is a wonderful incestual relationship you're having. Now, here's the last sentence. After the wedding, the woman says they plan to move to New Jersey where adult incest is legal. Where adult incest is legal. So, for all of those proponents of same-sex unions, they're not marriage, for all of those proponents of same-sex unions who denied the fact that if our country started to legitimize those unholy unions, that it would not begin a never-ending slippery slope, I give to you the father of the bride, who is also the bridegroom, and the bride, who is also the daughter of the bridegroom. Welcome to chaos. Welcome to perversion. Welcome to depravity. Welcome to Romans 3, 10 to 18. We can't end on that note. We cannot end on that note. So we have just a few minutes left, Chris. Dan Phillips on Twitter says, he talks like he writes. Oh, hang on. Wait a minute. Hold on.
Uh-oh.
Hold on. I'm waxing eloquent on the show, trying to watch the time, and right below that remark by Pastor Dan Phillips, he talks like he writes, posted 1 minute ago. 3 minutes ago, someone posted, you try and wrangle Tony and keep him on schedule, posted by Chris Hahn.
Hey, I only made a statement of fact. It's very difficult to keep you on time. I'll be putting my resume out there for anybody who needs a show producer.
Yeah, you're fired until this next segment starts, and we're about to start it. So let's go. We got about 6 minutes. What do you got for me on Always Ready? What kind of scenario you got for me today?
This one is actually one that's kind of happened to me, so I want to see your take on it. You're standing in your favorite bookstore. You go to the Christian section, which has a wide variety of what they call Christian. And as you're looking at them, the individual picks up, let's pick our favorite heretic, Joyce Meyer, Benny Hinn, name it and claim it crowd. And he looks at you and he says, you know what, I love this guy's writings. He really knows how to explain the Bible to you. Go.
Dude, that's a dog's breakfast. No, I probably wouldn't. Probably shouldn't start there. I would have to be honest with the person and say, yeah, I couldn't disagree with you more. And here are the reasons why. This person teaches this. This person teaches that. This person espouses this. This person espouses that. Now, what I would want to do, though, is as quickly as I can move off the topic of those writers. And this is why. The likelihood is if someone loves Joel Osteen's books, if someone loves T.D. Jakes' books, if someone loves Joyce Meyer books, if someone loves Benny Hinn's books, the likelihood is I'm talking to an unbeliever. The likelihood is I'm talking to a false convert. So I want to get to the gospel. I don't, I couldn't immediately begin the conversation with, say, 3 minutes to live, because that would be a really awkward segue. I'm going to have to say something about the book. I think what I would do is I would simply say, you know, I don't agree. I don't think their teachings are biblical. Maybe the person would ask me why. Maybe the person would walk away in a huff. I don't know. But if they're willing to stay, if they're willing to engage, I would take that person through 3 minutes to live, and I'd probably modify it just a little, just to smooth out the transition. You know, I'd ask the person, hey, you know, where do you go to church? How long have you been a Christian? I would ask the questions all positively. I wouldn't ask interrogatives in such a way as to, in a sense, tip my hand that I'm wondering whether or not this person's actually saved. But I would do it in a positive manner to get the information. That's what I want. I want the information. You know, where do you go to church? You know, oh, you're going to, you know, such and such church, and I recognize that church as being associated with, you know, one of these false teachers or whatever. Or, you know, I go to Bethel Reading. It's like, oh man, you know, I've got some work on my hands here. And find out, get their testimony, you know, and hear from them. And then after doing that, after trying to smooth things out, maybe deflate things a little bit, after saying, no, I don't think these are good teachers, I wouldn't recommend buying their books. Once I've done that, smooth things out, taking the conversation off the teachers, then I would take that person through 3 minutes to live. And as always, you know, that's going to reveal the condition of the heart. Now, an unbeliever can parrot the gospel. I'm interacting with a couple on Twitter today who profess to know Christ, but they clearly don't. But they could parrot. They could parrot the gospel. They could tell you, look in the eye, and say, "Hey, I'm saved by the grace of God alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone." Because they're churched. They're churched. But oftentimes, when you apply a little pressure to someone who's even churched, they're going to revert back to what they know. They're going to revert back to what they truly believe. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak. And 99.9% of the times, what I hear from people like that is a false gospel. And then that would give me an opportunity to share the gospel with the person. And, you know, if they're still there, if they're still in the conversation, then I would return to those false teachers. And I would say, or I would suggest, could it be that one of the reasons why you so enjoy these teachers is because they're not teaching you the Bible? Because they're false teachers. And they're telling you what you want to hear. So that's kind of where I'd go. All right, hey, we got about 90 seconds left. That was a good one, Chris. That was a good one. Keep those coming, buddy.
I will do my best, sir.
Next week, Rich and Chris are going to talk about heavenly tourism. It'll be old news next week, but we're still going to talk about it because we promised we would. We promised Dustin we would. And most definitely, the guys are going to talk about Beware the Horrible Butt Monster. I really wanted to talk about that because I think it's such a good article. They will talk about that. I will be missing. I will be on a secret mission that you'll know about come Friday, maybe. But I can't tell you what I'm doing or where I will be doing it. It's a secret. So until next week, everybody, be encouraged, strengthened, and unafraid. Proclaim the gospel. Pastor Tabidi, I love you, brother. Good night.
He's the creator, we creations, and one day you'll face him. The very God that you know lives, but you hate him. Proverbs 18:2, that describes you, that's the way that seems right to every man. Then doomed, you ask me how I know that I know you know he's real, cause the Bible says so, that's a done deal.
Oh, you don't believe in God or the Bible?
I don't believe you, like you wouldn't believe me if I say I don't believe that words are true. Wouldn't I have to be speaking? See, the fact that you're breathing proves the fool says there is no God.